That's not my normal oats either. All right. Had me worried a little bit. All right, we can open up to Acts chapter 8. While you're getting there, we'll get through all the... I won't make you long for slow death by saying But for my northern friends, we know that is a place of processing. Right? Are you with me? All right. So we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, and I appreciate this and the opportunity because I love camp. It's meant a lot to me. I too could say that in my time, I spent 2 years at a good church before I got saved, and we didn't have a camp that we went to, and what could have happened or what things could have been poured in or what I could have avoided if that had been a place for me as well. So I do appreciate, and I've seen over time people go through camp and come up, and I mean, we used to teach Ryan in children's church, and he's a blessing now in youth group. So I've got to see a whole cycle of that, and I really have a place in my heart for young people because they're facing things that are coming at them in such an array of speed, and just it's overwhelming. The pressure is immense, and they really need us to be who we're supposed to be and to come alongside them and do what we can to help them. And this is a very special passage for me because it's related to my own salvation story, but that's not what I'm going to talk about tonight because there's so much to this. And before I get there, to give some preface, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to start with verse 26, but just some preface. Stephen had just spoken out and basically given the whole historical aspect of the Jewish people and their rejection of Christ and the Messiah and everything before them, and he was stoned. And it was a difficult place, and Saul is a part of this now, and he's creating distress and havoc on the church. And it says the devout men are carrying away Stephen to be buried. Now, I don't know if Philip in this passage is a part of that devout man, but I know Philip was chosen, Philip the deacon, not the apostle, was chosen with Stephen. So he probably ministered with them, and he was close to him. So you got to think, this is devastating, right? He knows Stephen's testimony. He knows what he did was right. It was true, everything that took place. But this is his friend. And so he's going through this. So this is on top of him. So maybe he was there, maybe he buried him, I don't know, but it was his friend, somebody he was associated with in the ministry. And then they get scattered abroad, and Philip, he goes down to Samaria, a place where they're not normally want to go, and he goes to Samaria and he starts preaching Christ. So he's doing service despite all these things that are taking place, runs into many things. He's given power to perform miracles, runs into a man that's more worried about the power that he can gain from these things rather than what the power is for, which is the salvation of souls and people to come to Christ, not for your own gain or for you to look good or whatever it is. It's so that they can have everlasting life in these things. So we come about that. Then Peter or the other apostles hear what's going on. They send Peter and John to kind of see what's taking place. They get down there and they deal with this man too and rebuke him. And all this happens. And then we come to verse 26, and the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet." So he's taking a moment. Whatever took place during that time of his worship, he's reading. Maybe it was something that he heard that night. Maybe it's something that was read and he's trying to, but he's reading. He's involved. He's interested. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? I'm grateful for people who have guided me." That is important. Guidance is important. God sends people to guide us. "And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this, He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Praise the Lord. He wouldn't have got there had it not been for Philip. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all the goodness, Lord, that you shed upon us that we don't deserve, Lord. We're grateful, Lord. Your grace and mercy, Lord, sustain so many of us daily, Lord. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what it means, what this chapter means to me personally, Lord. It's just a blessed place in my life, a place of remembrance, Lord. A place that was crucial, Lord, in me coming to you, Lord, and I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for no matter how we look into these things, Lord, so much more can be exposed before us, Lord, and when we have others to guide us, Lord, more comes about, Lord, and your word is just expounded in our hearts, and I'm grateful for that, Lord, and I'm grateful for this place, and I'm grateful for young people, Lord, and those that are going to be going off and hearing much preaching, and many people will be there to guide, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that they'd be doing it in the same spirit as Philip, Lord. Lord, I ask you to be with the hearts of those listening tonight, Lord, be with me. Help me as I preach your word, Lord. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you tonight. I don't have a special story like I usually do, but I want to talk to you about an appointed encounter. Just an appointed encounter. We have encounters throughout all of our lives. Just these appointed times. And maybe we don't even see them that way. But there's always encounters in our lives that are appointed. Pastor talked about this morning sitting in church and hearing things that caused him to move. And we have those appointed encounters. I was thinking, every time we have the Lord's Supper, I think of this appointed encounter that I had where I was a young man about Noah's age, maybe 12, and some friends invited me to church. It was my neighbors, and I played with their children. They invited me to church, and it was time for the Lord's table, and I went to go take it, and a young man said, don't do that. And I'm like, what? Why can't I do this? And he explained to me the passage about damnation, and you're not supposed to take this unworthily, and if you don't understand this, you shouldn't do that. You know what that was? That was an appointed encounter. I'm not mad at him for that. He was trying to look after me. And there was other appointed encounters. Sometimes they were good. Sometimes it was me being irritable and somebody had to rebuke me. And I had to deal with that. And there was some of those appointed encounters. But they were all appointed to get me to a place to where I could receive Christ. And see, camp coming up is an appointed encounter. Where our young people get a chance, where God is going to place them in a place. He knows who he's sending there, Philip. He knows who's going to be there, the eunuch, children from everywhere. He knows where those people are coming from, where their story is, he knows where the eunuch was born, what his situation was. All that is known by God. And he's going to appoint this encounter that's going to take place this week. And you know what? What's great about it is it's not something that we've orchestrated. It's many, many hands that God has moved. He has moved churches to support the camp. He's moved a pastor and his people to desire to have this camp. He's appointed people to pray and fast on a certain day for this camp. He's appointed our church to be a part in this, to our pastor to find this man and reach out and this become basically our camp. All this is an appointed encounter to make sure that these things can take place. And when I look at this, there's so much going on here that Philip and the eunuch have no idea other than that they're listening to God. The first part in this encounter, when I look at this appointed encounter, is there's a want to discover. We see this want to discover in verses 26 through 28. We see the angel of the Lord spake to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So if it's me, Because I'm average Mike. Why am I going to the desert? If he knows what's from Jerusalem to Gaza, it's desert. What in the world could possibly happen in the desert? But Philip had a want to discover, because he went to the desert. Something was going to encounter there. Something, an appointed encounter was there. But he had a want to discover that. There was a prompting of the servant of God to go. And he desired to go. So I'm grateful for the prompting of servants who desire to go to camp. I'm not the first person that took people to camp. Remember? I mean, you guys lost the wheel. Right? God doesn't want the appointed, or not the God, the Lord wants the appointed encounter. The enemy does not. But it was in your heart to take them. And then it was in the heart where, I think it was either before or after, Emily dropped off Megan and Alicia and Caleb once, and then we got junior camp going, and Joe went. And so all these people, this is promptings of servants that want to desire to make sure this happens. What's going to take place there in Pennsylvania? But there's always a prompting of the servant, and the servant wants to discover what could possibly happen with God. Listen, it may not be a worker meeting with your child. There may be some child from a church in Maine that needs somebody here, because they understand exactly what that child has gone through. I don't know, but I know God does, and I know that there's a prompting of a servant. So everybody that's come, the pastor at the camp, Pastor Cronin, always says that he appreciates all the counselors for bringing the children, because it's so much more than just driving a van. And it is. I mean, it's some bodily exercise. It's some spiritual exercise. It's some things that sometimes is a little brutal, but it's good because it's for the sake of the kids. And in this, we have this want to discover. It's not just the prompting of the servant, but it's the pursuit of Scripture. If we look at verses 27 through 28, we see what's going on with the Ethiopian. He arose and went, and behold, the man of Ethiopia, the eunuch of great authority, of Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, he had the charge of all her treasure. So he has this huge place, and he gets a moment of time. I don't know why he was there, but he goes there to worship. And he's like Cornelius, the God-fearer. There's something about that he goes to worship there. And he's coming back from his time of worship, and he's just sitting there. He's interested in what was said. He's taking that extra moment. It's not, yep, I heard what was said today. That's nice. That's fine. I'm not taking any notes. I'm not listening. I'm done. I'm going home, and we'll see you next time. Something got a hold of him. And he said, I wonder what is taking place there. I'm going to read that passage again. I'm going to look more into this. I want to look more deeply into these things. And so he's doing that. And so there's this pursuit of the Scripture that's going to take place. There should be a pursuit of the Scripture when we go to camp. Young people, there should be a desire for you to want to grab something in your time there. For me, it's like a fire hose, because there's a lot of things to grab. And I just can't drink it all, but I'm going to get something. If you're there and you get nothing, there's something. You do not have the desire for the pursuit of the Scripture. There is something there for you. And even for the leader, there's something there for you. So there's the pursuit of the Scripture and what takes place there. And I know there's divine encounters, because listen, there was one time a few years back, and it was shared here in testimony time, where there was a skit, and I hesitate to call it a skit because it was so deep and powerful. And the dad of one of the actors in the skit was so moved and prompted to go out and pray. And then he ran into somebody who wasn't even going to the camp. They were just borrowing the basketball hoop and led that person to the Lord. You know what that was? It was an appointed encounter. The servant was prompted. His heart was prompted. He got up and he moved out. Hey, go out here and pray by the basketball hoop. Why do I want to go to the basketball hoop and pray? Well, there we go. Because some eunuch there needed you. There's a prompting of the servant to pursue the Scripture. There's this desire, this want to discover what God has. And that should be our attitude with camp. And listen, as people here at the church, when these young people go to camp, I want to discover what they come back with. What is in their heart when they come back? What do they want to do? Because I want to support that. I want to help that. Proverbs 25:2 It says, right, I'm going to go here so I don't misquote here. Talks about the matter of God and concealing. It's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings is to search out a matter. You know what that is? That's discovery. They want to discover something. God has something concealed. What's in the desert, God? I'm going to go find it out. What's in the scriptures, eunuch? I want to know. Children, do you want to know? Servants, do you want to find out what God can do? What are you hoping to discover this week at camp and in teen camp coming up? What are you hoping to discover? There's also, when we continue on in the passage, there's a will to decipher. If you look in verses 29 through 35, we have this will to decipher. As he's reading, Isaiah the prophet, it says, the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to his chariot. Philip ran thither to him. So Philip is excited. He's running. And I don't know if this is the way it looks, but when I'm seeing this, he runs there, and then he hears him read the prophet Isaiah. So in my law enforcement duties, we get a call. We get a hot call. We run to it, but then we slow down just for a minute and listen to what's going on around before we step right into it. Because I have to assess what's going on. So Philip's excited. He hears it. He goes. And then he stops for a minute and he listens to what's taking place. Leaders, when we go to camp, we can be so desirous that a young person's up at the altar, he just want to run right in. Step back. I always like to let them pray first and hear what they're praying about. There was a young man that I formed a bond with. He was married recently. It was very exciting. And I just love listening to the man pray. Because his heart was so soft and tender for God. And he's doing great things. And every time we go back to camp, it's a handshake and a hug. And just, man, I was hoping you'd be here again, Brother Baldwin. I'm glad I am here again. Keep praying for me and I'll keep praying for you. I don't want to fall out. I want to be there. And so there's this will to decipher. And the readiness of the laborer, he's ready to go. He wasn't waiting. He ran. He was ready. He's in the place where he should be, number one. He did what God had said, went where he said, and then he's ready, and that he's ready to go labor and to do these things. So we see that in him. And then, after he assesses what's taking place, he goes, understandest thou what thou readest? He asks him, do you know what you're looking at? And then we have the request of the learner. There should be a request from the learner. When somebody's going to camp, there should be a request, young people, of what you desire to get out of this. What can I understand greater about God? What can I understand greater about myself? My relationship to God? What my future may look like in God? Those things, we should be asking those questions. And he said, the eunuch, how can I accept some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. He didn't go, how am I going to know except a man should guide me? I wonder where this man's at. Philip, come guide me. But you got to be in your place. You got to be in the right framework. You got to be listening to God. You got to be running to it. You have to be assessing. And then when that person requests, you got to be there. Because they're going to request things. I've heard a lot of prayer requests over the years. And I'm glad when I see kids come back. And I see where they're at going on. I remember a young man, he still comes. And I remember him telling me he was so broken. And you don't know his name, so it's not going to matter. But he was praying because he had lied to his mom. He was broken. I don't want to lie to my parents. I love my parents. I don't even know why I would do that. Broken. I didn't look at him and go, man, you're dirty. What's wrong with you? No, I said, man, that's tough. That probably does feel bad, right? Yeah. I didn't need to deal with that. I said, well, what can we do? And we just walked through it and we prayed. And now he's a little bit bigger and everything like that, but I think he's got a good relationship with his parents. That's what God can do. I didn't do anything. I just played my part. I just want to be there to play my part for God. That's it. But there's going to be a request of a learner. And then we look and we continue on as this will to decipher. There's a response of the leader. Then Philip, what does he do? He does exactly what's going on. After the eunuch gives the place of the scripture, we see Philip open his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Philip's like, all right, I hear what you're saying. I understand that. I know that scripture. And right from it, he goes into it. That's his response. I'm going to respond to exactly what you're saying. You ever, like, somebody asks you a question, or you ask a question and they give you a total different answer. Like, that's not even what I was asking. And it's not just you didn't give me a good answer. It's just that's not even where I was going. You're not even in the category. Like, you're way over here. And I wasn't even dealing with that. I asked this question. Now, it'd be one thing, you know, Philip didn't go, okay, let me show you what I know because I was with Stephen and I just did these things in Samaria. Well, let me tell you what I know. No. Right where he was, right in the scripture, he said, what do you got there? The eunuch reads from it, and then he goes, okay. Right from that scripture, that passage, he preached unto him Jesus. Because God's in every book. We understand that. So there's this response to the leader. He's responsive. He's ready as a laborer, and he's responsive as a leader because he wants to address that question. He didn't say, understands what thou readest. He reads from Isaiah, and then he goes, let me talk to you about Genesis. It's not what he did. And that's why we, as leaders, and when you go to camp leaders, you have to be responsive to those things. Respond to actually what's taking place. What is going on in that child? What did they come for? They didn't come to hear us say great words. They didn't come to see how spiritual we were. They're bringing a request before God that's genuine. Give them a genuine answer. And if it's out of that scripture, well, hey, what about the preaching tonight? Hit your heart. Oh, when the preacher said this out of this passage, let's go to that passage. Let's be intentional about this. This is a good time to do that. When I look at this, I am reminded of Ephesians 2:10 and Philippians 2:13. I'm going to go there. Where Philip's not there for his own purposes. He is the workmanship of God doing what God has intended him to do. And all along, he's doing this. He was, when they said to choose the deacons, they said, choose them that are full of the Holy Ghost. He wouldn't be able to perform the miracles that he did if he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. So he's doing those things. He's being responsive. He knows he's a part of God's plan. So if you turn, or come over to Ephesians 2:10. We use the verse and we talk about, for by grace are you saved, and we say this, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when you come down to the next one, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. An appointed encounter is something that's ordained that God wants you to walk in. If you're the one praying with someone at the altar, God has ordained that encounter. Take that very seriously. You don't know what could take place later on because of that. It's more than just an experience. It could change somebody's life. And then over in Philippians 2:13, very similarly, he said, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. It was the pleasure of God what happened in that encounter. It wasn't for Philip to show how great Philip was. It wasn't for the eunuch. It was for the glory of God. Because God's plan was coming to fruition. How did that take place? Because everybody was listening and sensitive, and then God's work was able to happen. Just play your part. And sometimes, you know, playing your part is getting goofy, running like a fool, falling, jumping in inflatable things, creating really weird cheers and screaming your head off to get excited for some children. And it's the best place to do it. God has appointed this encounter, so it's okay. It's okay to let loose in that way. Let that happen. The camp is so much fun. It is. It is great. It's a great way. But work in that. Let God use that. I forgot to define this, but decipher is to unfold, to unravel what is intricate, to explain what is obscure or is difficult. Now, I have not been to junior camp, but it's probably a little bit harder to explain things in junior camp than teen camp. Lean on God for that, right? Be that decipherer. But decipher well. Decipher well out of a place that you know, because you can impact somebody's life greatly. How will you navigate your will in deciphering this? How are you going to navigate that? How are you going to work out in yourself what I'm going to do to help this person? How are you going to navigate your distractions? How are you going to navigate yourself out of the equation so you make sure that you're paying attention to what's going on in the heart of that child? How will you navigate your will? The will to decipher has to come from the place of what God wants you to do. It's important. This is a divine appointed encounter for children to see God. And a lot of things are removed so this can happen. That's one of the greatest things about camp. If we could transport everybody here into the environment of camp, because I don't think you understand. Now, it could happen at church. If we'd all get on board and get unified, it could happen. You're talking about counselors living a certain way, expected certain things. You're talking about everybody moving and looking to serve one another. You're talking about people intent on doing things in an environment where we're willing to put out distractions and things away from us to make sure that God's word has free reign. If we could just get a glimpse of that, it could take place here. But there has to be this will to decipher. So how are we going to navigate our will? How are we going to navigate our wills here throughout the week, Wednesday night service, when they're there? Are we going to navigate our distractions out and remember them? Are we going to navigate distractions out in our lives to remember to pray for them this week while they're away? Somebody could get saved this week. Somebody could get called to go somewhere this week. We don't know. We just need to navigate our wills and make sure that we're wanting God's will for this. And then lastly, there's a way to become a disciple. If we look at this in verses 36 through the remainder of the chapter, after he preaches to him Jesus, it says, they went on their way and came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? This is a great place. This is very special to me because I heard about baptism in church. Now, I've heard other things in church at that time. 2 years I went hearing things, but it was that. We're having a baptismal service. Somebody's getting baptized. What's that? I want to do that. Oh, it's not just something you do. Something that follows something you do. Well, what do I need to do? And then that discussion happened. That Romans road was spoken to me, and I knew. I already knew. I was ready. And that's what we're talking about. There's a way to become a disciple. He says this. What is stopping me now? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He deciphered that message very well for him. There was no reservations. There was nothing holding him back. He knew that Jesus was out of Isaiah. It was clear. This is Christ. He was the suffering one that came and paid for my sin. I believe. And then what happens next? And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both in the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. He walked with him the entire way through this thing. But in becoming a disciple, it begins with the desire to belong. Do you know that one of the greatest desires for children is to want to belong? Do we understand this? Come on, adults, don't tell me you don't have the desire to belong too. You go to work, you want to belong at work. Okay, for my military people, you're in the military, you want to belong. You want to be part of that church, you want to belong. There is a sense of belonging. Why? It's driven in us when we're little. We desire to belong. Why? Because we're meant to worship God. He wants us, but the enemy does too. So children have a desire to belong, and here there's this desire of the eunuch to belong to the things of God. Praise the Lord. That's his desire. But it starts there. How many kids come in, we see in the bus, and they desire to belong, and something pulls them away? I always think of that story when Pastor, when you talk about the children in Africa, and they're all like happy to see you, and they want to go, and then all of a sudden that turns. At some point, there was a desire to belong, and then that gets taken away. But thankfully, here, it begins with this desire to belong. If we want our children in church, we want to see kids here, we love children, we look forward to them being here, we're grateful that we're here, then they'll want to belong. If we don't live that way, if we don't think that way, then maybe we're killing their desire.
I hope I'm not. I really try to do my best to help young people as much as I can. Then also the way to become a disciple is not just the desire to belong, but then it's followed by the declaration to believe. You have to believe in this. And children, please don't believe just to make mom or dad happy. If your parents love you, they love you because they love you. If you're going to believe in Jesus, believe in him because you believe in him and you've encountered him. You've heard from him, you've heard from his word, you know your soul, and you've trusted in him, and that is your encounter with him. Believe because of the right things. Now, mom and dad should be happy if you believe, but that's not why you do, because that's not going to sustain you. And then lastly, in becoming a disciple, it's completed with a decision that's bettering. What's the bettering decision? The decision is that once he believed, after the declaration, the eunuch believed, and then he was baptized, he goes away rejoicing. Why? Because he understands exactly what was told to him. And then Philip, he's bettered. Why? Because he gets to play a part in somebody else's life coming to Christ. See, there is no better place than to be a part of somebody, bettering somebody's life for Christ. It's not about you, it's about God. When somebody's better, when somebody's supported, what you all said about Sam, it's true. When we say that, that's you're bettering somebody for Christ. You're drawing them closer. That's exactly what happened. Philip, he was able to take in this experience and see this and be the part that God played, and then God whisked him away and put him somewhere else, and he continues on doing the work that he's doing. Later on, he's called Philip the Evangelist. People start knowing what he's doing. He's desirous of these things. You know why? He saw great things happen, and this encounter surely bettered him and his practices. And, of course, it bettered the eunuch because he walks away rejoicing. And historically, we know that there was a presence of Christianity in Ethiopia after that. So, again, these things are bettering. It's going to help somebody. There's a rejoicing. There's a furtherance of God's word and the gospel. And this is exactly what can happen at camp. There could be rejoicing. Why? Rejoicing in somebody's salvation. Rejoicing in somebody getting right with God. Rejoicing with a young person saying, I don't want to lie to my mom anymore. There could be a betterment because there's somebody that you pray with that you see year after year that say, I'm glad you're back. Because if I'm not where I am, if I'm not listening to God, I'm not going to go to the desert in the way by Gaza. I'm not going to go there. If I'm not in God's purposes, I'll never hear him say, arise and go. And so I'm grateful when I come back and they see me again and they say, I'm glad to see you, Brother Baldwin. I have to be in my place. And leaders, we have to be in our place. Are you ready? The question is then, here's the way to become a disciple. And in an appointed encounter, are you ready to show the way? Are you ready? Or are we just going to be shocked if some child comes up? Listen, here's why I say, are you ready? What if this is a child that goes to a good church and they've gone there all their lives and they go, I need to get saved? Leaders, are we ready? But you go to a good church. God spoke to them and said, I need this. Are you ready? We have to be ready to show people the way. And this is a great place for children to hear about the ways of God. They can see things take place. They get the distractions removed. There's nothing really pulling on them. I see God's work moved. I see the enemy restricted at camp. And then here the heart can be touched. That doesn't mean that can't happen in church, but I'm just saying this is an appointed encounter. A special place. Clearly in the Bible, things are happening in church in Acts. But this encounter right here is special. Camp is special. Young people that go to camp, please see camp as special. You really don't know what you're getting. Pastor's absolutely right. Man, I wish I had that. And listen, I had good guides. I had people show me things that I needed. But man, a week away. For them to take me away from my crowd of people, from the things that would get me off, from my music, from, I didn't have the electronics she had, but I had some. But just to get away from that, could it happen sooner for me? I don't know. But I do know in the time frame before I got saved, some things happened. I made a lot of mistakes and sins that got me to that place. So leaders, be ready to show the way. Young people, be ready to receive that from a guide. Are you ready to show the way? Appointed encounters. This is an appointed encounter. This is a time for you to take in everything that God can give to you. It's been appointed. Now what are you going to do with it? Leaders, young people, church people praying for them. This is our time. What's God telling us to do? Listen, be ready. Be ready, parents. Be ready, church folk. Because what happens if I get preached to all week long and it doesn't hit me till I get home? Are you ready when they come back? Are you ready when they come back, when it's the appointed encounter, when maybe everything that I had from camp was good and I'm ready and I'm ready to take it on, and I go out and I make a bump and I get a mistake? I just threw all camp away. Are we ready to say, no, let me show you the way. It's not too late. Let's walk it back. I'm here for you. Are we ready? Are we ready if they've heard everything and then it's the Sunday morning or night message after camp here in church that they come up and now they want to receive Christ? Are we ready? Don't just put it on the camp folks. They can come back here and need it. It could be right here where it hits. We don't know the appointed encounter. We just have to be ready like Philip. And God will show us the way. Because guess what? That person's going to get up there and they're going to say, I need to be saved. This spoke to me. And we need to be ready. So I ask, are you ready for that appointed encounter? I'm grateful for those that were ready for mine. All those that spoke to me. That young man that sat in the pew that told me not to do that. I think of that every time. Why? Because that was that time. God said that. That baptismal service was that time where I said, what's stopping me from being baptized? Believe. I'd heard enough. I knew exactly what they were preaching at the church. And that's when I trusted Christ. And I'm grateful. And I'm grateful for all the children that get the opportunity to go to camp. And you know what? And again, parents, your child gets saved at camp. Don't be upset if your child gets saved with somebody else. Listen, God worked that out with me a little bit ago. I spent 11 years discipling a man, and he didn't come to salvation with me. That's your verse, right? Some plant, some water, God gives the increase. It's not about you. You're just the part. I am average Mike. Literally. Can I tell you, I'm average Mike. I'm nothing special. I look back at the things that God brought me through. I'm like, how in the world? Listen, my military people, I struggled. You know, climbing ropes and that stuff. I struggled. God brought me through some of that stuff. I'm like, I'm just average Mike. But what can God do with average Mike? These young people, if you think you're average, God can still do something with you. Seriously, come on. Speaking in front of people is not my thing. But I love God's word. And Pastor, what you shared in that room back there, it's not because of me. It's an obligation because of Christ's righteousness for the righteous God that we preach. That's what this is about. And that righteous God loves these children. And he'll take you, whatever you have, he'll take you and he can do something with you. Please let him do something with you at camp. Please. And you know what? And remember this, camp's good memories. They're good memories. If you ever get sideways later on in life, remember camp. If you got to go, remember camp. Just remember those times. And then come back to that. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much, Lord. I am so grateful, Lord. In my wicked fleshly heart, Lord, I just don't understand, Lord, how you can take somebody who's cursed your name, who's abused you, before others who's swore about you, who's rejected you for so many years, then turn around, save that young man, and then bring him to a place where he's preaching your word, taking young people to camp. I don't understand. But I am grateful. And Lord, because it was those who never gave up on me as a teen, Lord, because they had a heart for you, Lord, and they listened, Lord, and I pray, God, Lord, that you help me to never let these young people down, Lord. And I pray for every leader, Lord, that you not let them let young people down, Lord. Just hold us up, strengthen us, Lord, as we just really seek, Lord God, to guide these young people straight to you, Lord. And that, Lord, not so that we would always be the ones to guide them to you, but, Lord, so that they would know how to find the way themselves. Lord, so they would know how to pray to you, how to ask things of you, how to find answers in the Bible. Lord, how to have that personal relationship with you, Lord. So when no one's around, when they have to stand alone, Lord, they can do it because they understand and know you. Lord, help us to play our part, Lord, whether it's praying for them before they go, praying for them while they're there, whether it's being in our place here, praying while they're there, whether it's being ready when they come home, whatever it is, Lord, prepare our hearts, Lord, to do our part, understanding, Lord, that the glory is yours, and we just get to take joy in our part. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you for your word. I thank you for saving me, Lord. I thank you for the people in here, Lord, that you've touched and saved their hearts, Lord. And I think about the young people who maybe don't understand or don't have that knowledge yet, Lord. Possibly, Lord, could you show them this week? Lord, could we hear great testimonies about what you've done in young people's lives? It'd be so much better for them to get saved now and walk with you now than go through a lot of things later, Lord. I'm grateful for it, Lord. If you've touched the heart of anybody here today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that they would just come up to the altar and speak to you, Lord. If there's some young person that's on their heart, if it's a grandma and grandpa and your grandchild's going, if it's a mom or dad and your child's going, just come up and pray for your child, Lord. God, I pray that they would pray to you and just that their child would be sensitive and be open to you, Lord, and that they would follow you, Lord. I'm grateful for this time, Lord. I'm grateful for my church, Lord, that's taught me so many things, Lord. I'm grateful that you use people to guide us. And Lord, I'm honored, Lord, to speak your truth, Lord, before others, Lord. I pray all these things and ask in Jesus' name. Amen.